Good morning, everybody. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, apologies. I have an unusual microphone set up at the moment. So if I move over here and you can't hear me anymore, just sort of wave or something. I'll get confused, but I'll get back into it. So today, I want to talk a bit about the nature of faith and temptation. Scary. Firstly, though, I want to talk about faith and the Christian faith. Our faith is wonderfully simple. Christianity is not complicated. Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying. It is straightforward, clear-cut, and understandable. And wonderfully, in its simplicity, our faith is not thin or shallow. God has made things both uncomplicated and rich, straightforward and deep. Our faith is wonderfully, emphasis on wonderfully, simple. Now, as some of you may know, almost went over there, as some of you may know, I work in computers, in software development, creating new apps and software for people to use. A major aim for me is to ensure we reach people in different places around the world, with different computers and devices, and with different skills and abilities. I want the widest range of people to be able to use the software we create. Accessibility is the watchword. Accessibility is vital. And I have found that accessibility always means simplicity. Christianity is simple. And if you think about it, it has to be. To be a Christian and call Jesus my Lord, I do not need to be intelligent or wealthy. I do not need to be strong or fast. I do not need to be a man or a woman, a child or an adult. I do not need to be mentally or physically disciplined, thank goodness. I do not need to spend years learning and training. My parents do not need to have faith. I do not need to be born into a particular tradition or culture. And perhaps most importantly, I do not need to be good. And nor do you. In today's passage from Romans, Paul makes this emphatically clear. I'm going to be looking at that passage first, so if anybody wants to open their Bibles to it, I'll be going through it a little bit and I'll refer to some verse, so it might be helpful. I might just confuse things, but it might be helpful. So, Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8, 8b, just to be specific. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. It's a very, very short distillation of our creed. It is very simple. There is no limit to who has access to Jesus. It goes on, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Anyone. Jesus is available and accessible to anyone and everyone. And there is no distinction, no difference, says Paul. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I wanted to make that clear. Because there are a lot of people who believe that they're outside. There are a lot of people who believe there are people who are going to be Christian and they're them. That's not the case. Everybody has access to Jesus, and he wants to get to know everybody. So our faith is simple. We simply have to believe in Jesus. We just have to say, Jesus is Lord. In the song we sang earlier, Jesus is Lord is an important phrase. And it is so rich and full of stuff. So I just want to unwrap some of that, break it up, and as we say nowadays, unpack it. And with a bit of help, I'm going to cheat. Alistair McGrath is one of my favourite clever Christians. A professor of science and religion at Oxford University, he debates strongly new atheism, loves Narnia and C.S. Lewis, and writes really good theology books. And when I say really good, I can understand them, so that makes them pretty good. Professor McGrath, or Alistair, as I call him, breaks down faith into four parts as follows. Firstly, faith is assent. Faith is believing something is true. This is just the starting point, but it is an important one. When we say Jesus is Lord, we acknowledge both that he exists and that he is God. He is Lord. Secondly, faith is trust. It's GCSE year for Rebecca, and she is working blooming hard. Much harder than I remember working for my O-levels. And when I say I believe in Rebecca, I mean I trust her. I don't acknowledge, just acknowledge she exists. I trust in her. I trust her to work hard and to do her best. When I say Jesus is Lord, I am not just recognizing him and saying he exists. I am saying that I trust in him. McGrath says, faith is the response of our whole person to the person of God. It is a joyful reaction on our part to the overwhelming divine love we see revealed in Jesus Christ. Faith is saying yes to God. Thirdly, faith means commitment. When I say those three words, Jesus is Lord, I am saying he is my Lord. I am saying I belong to Jesus. I am one of his people, one of his sheep. McGrath again. Faith is a joyful and willing self-surrender to God. It is throwing open the doors of our lives and inviting God to enter, not merely as our guest, but as our Lord and Master. Finally, and this one is a little bit different to the first three, faith results in obedience. Let me be very clear. I think most of you know me well enough. His grace is sufficient for me and for you. We do not come to faith through the good things we do. There is nothing we can do to earn our way into the kingdom. Jesus has paid the full price for our entry through his death on the cross. But it is simply true that our faith leads to obedience. Our faith is an active faith. The more we believe in Jesus, the more we obey his commands. If we believe in a weather forecast, it influences how we dress. If we believe in seat belts, we wear them. In a similar way, the extent to which we obey Jesus shows the extent to which we believe. McGrath writes, real faith gives rise to good works naturally, just as a tree bears fruit or a vine bears grapes. Faith is simple. But let's have some nerdiness. When talking about faith, Paul uses a rhetorical technique common to Hebrew poetry. You're going to love this. The really technical and specific term for what he does is a synonymous distich. The only slightly less technical term is parallelism. And I think this is wonderful, but sometimes it's a bit confusing. So let me explain what I mean. He uses two statements that mean exactly the same thing to emphasize and enrich meaning. They can't be broken apart. Some good examples from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. Same thing, twice. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Roughly the same thing, twice. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Roughly the same thing. And from Proverbs 3, 13 to 14, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. I know. What are you going on about, Hannon? This is all getting a bit weird. Well, in verse 10, this is what Paul is doing. We can clearly see it. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I want to make this clear, just in case anybody ever gets confused about this. Justified and saved are the same thing. Do not make the mistake of breaking this into two things and say, I can be justified but not saved, or saved and not justified. This is one of the very strange things and the wonderful things about faith. It combines those three things, assent, trust, and commitment, all of which produce obedience. And they are all intertwined, part of the same thing. And here is a wonderful thing. I have found this to be true. The more I know about who Jesus is, about his life, his character, the kind of things he said, and about his death and resurrection, the more I see the character of Jesus, the more I understand who he is and what he did, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the more I rely on him, the more of my trust in myself I transfer to him, the stronger my commitment to him becomes. The more I feel like one of his people. And the more I know, trust, and commit, the more I find myself wanting to obey. And not just wanting to obey, but in some wonderful way, enabled to obey, despite myself. I have found this to be deeply true throughout my own faith journey, and I can only share what I know as true. Christianity is simple, wonderfully, richly, deeply simple. Now, lastly, a few thoughts about temptation. In some ways, I could talk about temptation with a lot of experience. I'm probably similar to many of you. I've had a lot of temptation. I know what temptation looks like. But only in that respect am I very good with temptation. The truth is that I have found faith is often hard because, and some of you may find this a little bit difficult, because we are actively opposed and attacked. Now, I want to be honest with you. I do not know what I specifically believe about Satan. His being and character are not part of my faith, my creed, not part of what I believe in as part of my Christian faith. And I don't feel I really need to find out any more about him. I call him a him for convenience, but I do not know if he is a person in the same way that I am or God is. But I cannot deny he exists. He exists, and he is in opposition to Jesus and to us. In the gospel passage we heard this morning, Jesus is tempted by the devil. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, but he was also fully human. And temptation hit him just as hard as it hits us. In some ways, his temptation was greater. After all, he could easily call upon immense and overwhelming power. But he chose not to. His messiahship, the type of savior, the type of king he was meant to be, was not to be one of power, of conquest and domination. It was one of humility, obedience and sacrifice. Jesus was tempted in the desert, but this was not the last time he was tempted. Remember this. Jesus was tempted throughout his life, right up until his death. And I'm sorry to say, we, however far we get in our Christian faith, will continue to be tempted every day of our lives until the day we die. Now, there's two things about Jesus' responses. Let's start with the positive things, and then I'll have a bit of negative, and then back to really positive. Okay, so don't get worried about the negative. Jesus' response to temptation is a model for us to consider when we are tempted and to use. It is the right model to use. His response is keep it simple, keep it scriptural. Every time Jesus is tempted by the devil, he responds with words of scripture, which is actually a very meaningful thing and something I don't think I fully realized until I prepared for this sermon, quite how specific that was. Man shall not live by bread alone, he responds. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only, he responds. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And do not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy, again, chapter 6, verse 16. All three of those responses are rich. They all come from the time of 40 years in the wilderness for Israel, the people of God. Jesus very, very wisely picked exactly the right time, the right context for his responses to each of the temptations of Satan. Now, Nanette and I laughed a bit about this. How many of us, every time we're tempted, have exactly the right, contextually perfect bit of scripture at hand to rebuff it and bat it away? Not me, I'll tell you that. So when I said this is a really good model, if you are feeling tempted, turn to scripture. Find the right stuff. Ask someone who knows scripture better than you. Ask them about where to find the right stuff. It is the right way to do it. But unlike Jesus who wonderfully and was at just perfectly resisted temptation throughout his life, we won't. We don't. I don't resist temptation. So remember again, how wonderfully simple our faith is. It is not about resisting temptation. We don't count the number of times we resist and try and outweigh the number of times we succumb. Our faith is simple. Jesus is Lord, and everyone who calls on his name will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.